Well, welcome. Welcome to Ada Bible Church. I'm so glad that you're here. If we haven't met, my name is Brad, and I'm the campus pastor for our North Satellite. And welcome to a brand new year. Welcome to 2025. I know some of you are already crushing this year. Like, you haven't had a single carb. You haven't had a single gram of gluten. You've already worked out like 15 times. For me, I think I'm setting my goals just a little bit smaller this year. I just finally got into the habit of writing the date as 2024. So I'm hoping that maybe this year, maybe by July, I'll be able to know the current year that we are currently living in. So, and some of you, I know that you started off this year and you set some goals to just grow spiritually. And so I'm just so glad that you're here. And if it's your first time in any of our spaces, I just hope that Ada Bible Church feels like home to you very quickly. At Christmas, how many of you, as you were pulling the presents out from underneath the tree, how many of you had a gift that looked a little bit like this? A few Legos in here. You know how this works, right? You open up the box of the Legos, and the first thing you pull out is the instruction manual, and you set that to the side. And then the second thing you pull out is the first bag of Legos. It's clearly marked with a number 1, and you take the bag of Legos and you open them up. And we do this at my house. We just create a big spot on the carpet, and then we pour out all the Legos that you need for the first step of your project. And you know that these are the Legos that you're going to use as you're working through the first step. And there is a very important rule. And it's so important. I probably don't even need to tell you what the rule is, because everyone knows the rule when it comes to putting together Legos. Just in case you don't know what the rule is this. As you're working through step number 1 and you've got all the parts and all the pieces, there is no reason whatsoever under any circumstance or any scenario that you would pick the box back up and you would reach your hand inside the box. There is no reason that you would pull out the next bag of Legos. And the rule about doing Legos is you would never open up the next bag. He's not going to do it, is he? And pour them in, because now it's ruined, right? I mean, how in the world are you going to dig through all of these pieces and know, like, does this piece go with step number 1 or does this piece go with step number 2? It's going to be impossible for you to tell. And it's going to take you 10 times longer to put together these Legos. In fact, you might as well just go back to the store and buy a new set of Legos and start from the beginning again. This, my friends, happened to me in real life. Except it wasn't with Legos. It was something a little bit bigger. It was with one of these. My in-laws, they bought us this play set, this swing set. I don't even remember exactly what ours looked like. My kids were really little. And I think it had a slide on it, had a couple swings on it. And I think ours had a teeter-totter at one end. And they brought it over. It came in this giant box. We pulled out all the poles and the slide and all the parts that we would need. And this came with 7 bags of nuts and screws and bolts and brackets. And we had carved out an entire Saturday that we were going to put this thing together. And so I stepped inside, I grabbed a couple glasses of water, I come back outside, and my father-in-law, who I love dearly, had helpfully, conveniently, had taken all 7 bags, and he had opened them up, and he had poured all of them into this giant bowl. And I walked out with the water, and I just looked at the bowl, and I just thought, why? How? Like, this is going to take us 10 times longer to put together this swing set. Like, how are we going to know if this piece goes with step number 1 or step number 7? Is this payback from the time I scratched your car? I mean, what are we going to do? And I just wonder, as we begin our conversation today, I just wonder, as you're looking forward into 2025, if your life might feel a little like this. As you're looking into the bowl of your life, you're pulling out pieces of your life, and you're just wondering, I just don't know where this is going to fit. I have no idea how this is going to work out in my life, because this piece of my life right now, this doesn't make any sense. I have no idea where this could go or how this could fit or how this could possibly be like put together into anything. And the question that you're asking deep inside is how in the world could this be put together, this mess of pieces of my life, be put together to be anything good or anything right or anything beautiful? And you just find yourself kind of crying out in frustration. Take that feeling and follow me into the scriptures that we're going to look at today. This comes from Psalm 142. Here's how the psalm begins. It says this. It says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I cry to you, Lord. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. This comes from the Psalms in your Bible. This is written by a guy named David. If you were to take a paper copy of the Bible and you flip it open right to the middle, you're probably going to hit one of the Psalms. There are 150 different Psalms in our Bible, and the Psalms kind of cover everything. They talk about God, they talk about theology, they talk about redemption, they talk about hope, and they encompass every single human emotion that we could possibly feel, every emotion we could possibly experience. And one of the emotions that we feel is an emotion that we call lament. Lament. Here's how we define lament. Lament is like this. A lament conveys deep emotion over a situation while also declaring trust and hope in God. Of the 150 Psalms in our Bible, almost a third of them are these Psalms of lament. They're these Psalms where people are just crying out to God with this real and raw and passionate emotion, and they're crying out to a God, and they just want to know, does God hear me? Does God see me? Does God still care? Does he know what I'm going through? As they experience these feelings of lament, which are grief, heartache, mourning, and sorrow. And so today, as we work through this passage together, you may have walked in here and you might be coming off of an incredible Christmas season. You might be walking into 2025 and the pieces of your life, they feel like they're fitting together. I mean, things are making sense. Things are in order and you're watching and hoping as things come together. You're looking, this year is filled with hope because you see beautiful things on the horizon. And I just want you to know, this teaching today, this is a teaching for you, because I have lived long enough to know that it only takes a moment for something to enter into your world that you didn't expect, you didn't ask for, and you didn't want. And so take this teaching and put it in your pocket in case you enter into a season of lament this year and you need to pull it back out. And there are some of you, that's not your story. You are entering into 2025, and you know the pieces of your life are kind of a mess. There are things that have entered your world that just don't make any sense, and you don't understand how any of this could make anything pure or good or right or beautiful, and you're just throwing up your hands and wondering, how is this going to work out? Today's teaching is for you. Take this teaching and use it as a roadmap to help you navigate through your grief, your heartache, your mourning, your sorrow, your loss. Use it to navigate through your season of lament. In fact, that's what David does, the author of this psalm. He uses it as a roadmap so that we can understand how to move through lament. He gives us three elements of lament that we're going to work through together today. So let's just dive right in. We'll start at the very top. Psalm 142, verses 1 and 2. Start out like this. It says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. David, as he begins this process of lament, the first thing that he does is complain to God. David complains to God. Now, when I say complain, there's a difference between complaining about God and complaining to God. And here David is showing us what it looks like to bring our complaints, all of our complaints, to a God. Why? Why does he bring his complaints to God? Because David believes that God cares. He believes that God cares about him. And if God cared about David and what David was going through, then he cares about you. And he cares about what you're going through as well. Before we talk about how David complains and how he brings these complaints to God, I think we need to take a closer look at why. What's going on in David's world that he would complain to God? And in fact, we get a little clue right here in Psalm 142. In fact, if you look at Psalm 142, there are some words right underneath the title. It says this, a maskil of David. A maskil, scholars believe that just means that this psalm could be used as lyrics to a song. It might have been paired with music and you could use it to sing through. And then it says, when he was in the cave, a prayer. When he was in the cave, what is that about? When he was in the cave, let's back up. If you're unfamiliar with David's story, David, he becomes the greatest king ever to rule over Israel. And we believe that he takes the throne at about the age of 30. And this is before he takes the throne. And so we believe he's maybe in his mid-20s. David here, when he writes this psalm, he's a young adult. But if we back up even further, David, when he was a kid, when he was a young boy, prophet of God comes to his family and says, David is going to become the king over Israel. But Saul, the current king, he sees David, and as David continues to grow up, he starts to feel threatened by David's popularity. He starts to feel furious and angry and agitated as David becomes more and more popular with the people, as he becomes a great warrior. The king becomes so furious that he's full of rage and hate, and he decides to rally his army, chase David down, and have David killed. So as a young adult, David has no other choice. No other choice but to run for his life to try and escape the king. Where does he run? Well, he runs to someplace kind of like this. Hey, this is a picture of a cave in Israel. And maybe David runs to some cave that looks a little bit like this one. And he finds himself hiding out in this cave, trying to escape the king who is out to kill him. We get a glimpse of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Here's what it says there. It says, David, he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were there with him. So it says 400 people, word gets out, gets back to his family. Some of his family come, and they meet him, and they're hiding out in this cave. And it says 400 people, but it gives a few descriptors, right? It says these are people who are distressed, people who are in debt, people who are discontented. These are people who are in trouble, people who are broke, and people who are mad. Like, this is the group of people that come out to encourage David, to support David, to help David out. And so here David is. He's on the run for his life. He's hiding in a cave. He's afraid the army is going to find him. And the people who come to support him are this ragtag group that has their own issues, their own problems, their own fears and struggles and worries. And this, my friends, this is why David begins Psalm 142 by complaining to God. Let's take a look at those verses one more time. Now that we know a little bit of the context about why David is complaining, here's what it says again. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. David is bringing his complaints to the very feet of God because he believes that God cares about him. There are two things that I love about how David complains. Two things I think maybe we can learn about how David complains. The first is it says that David lifts his voice up. It says David speaks these words aloud. When you find yourself traveling through a season of lament, do you speak those words aloud to God? Do you share with God exactly what you're thinking and how you're feeling and the emotions that are swirling around inside of you? If you're anything like me, you might say some of the ways that you feel. You might share some of those emotions, but for me, I just find myself holding back. I find myself like kind of sugarcoating some of the ways that I'm feeling, which is really silly, isn't it? I mean, sugarcoating how I feel to the creator of the universe, the one who knit me together in my mother's womb, the one who knows my innermost beings. I'm sugarcoating. I'm hiding from him. No, David says, I am bringing everything I am to God, and I'm sharing every emotion, every feeling, every thought, every complaint that I have with God. Because David believes that our God is big enough and strong enough to carry those emotions, and he loves us enough to want to. He loves us enough to want to. This word, complaint, it appears 14 times in our Bible, and sometimes it's translated differently. So sometimes it's translated as complaint, sometimes it's translated as trouble, sometimes it's translated as worry, and David is saying, I am bringing every trouble, every worry, every moment of anxiety, every fear, every complaint, I am bringing all of that to the feet of our God. David says he speaks these words aloud. He voices those aloud. And then the second thing it says he does is, it says, I love this, it says he pours out his complaints. It's like he's pouring himself out to God. And as he pours himself out, it's like every single drop goes to God. All of it. Everything. Every single drop he pours out before God. And I just wonder today if there's anything that you need to pour out before God. If you're traveling through a season of lament, is there something that you're holding back that you need to pour out before God? The cancer that you thought was gone is back. And after a series of scans, you realize that coming up later this year, you're going to have more treatment, and you are just frustrated. You're exhausted. You're tired. You thought this was done, and you don't want to start it over again. Pour that out to our God. Just tell him, God, I'm tired. God, I'm exhausted. God, I don't want to do this anymore. God, I want this to be over. I want this to be done. She didn't show up again for Christmas. And this is year number four. This is the daughter that you love, the daughter that you raise, the daughter that you cherish, and you're doing everything you can think of to restore this relationship and bring healing. And there have just been endless phone calls and endless counseling sessions and endless letters back and forth and back and forth, and yet this year, her seat at the table still remains empty. And you just feel sad. You just feel bummed out. You feel a little hurt. You feel angry. Pour that out before our God. Just tell him, God, I'm sad. I'm really frustrated. I am bummed. I'm a little bit angry. Pour that out before God. The company that you work for is downsizing, and it's not just your company. It's kind of all across the industry. And you don't know if tomorrow when you show up for work, if that's going to be your last day in the office or not. And you're just worried. You are filled with anxiety that you have never felt before. It is keeping you up at night, and you're asking yourself questions about, could I even land another job? At this stage in my life, could I even start another career? Pour that out to our God. Just tell him, God, I'm scared. God, I don't know what to do. God, I am frustrated. I just don't know what I would do if I had to find another job. God, I'm afraid. I am terrified. Here at Ada Bible Church, let's be the kinds of people who just believe deep in our bones that our God is strong enough and big enough to carry all of our feelings, all of our hurts, all of our emotions, every grief we have ever felt, and he loves us enough to want to. First thing David does as he travels through this season of lament is he brings his complaints to our God. And the second thing he does is he asks God for help. He asks God for help. Here's how the psalm continues. It says, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Listen to my cry. Rescue me. Set me free from my prison. I just love this. As David begins to ask for help, the first thing he does is he says, God, I need you to look at me. I need you to see me. I'm pouring out all these complaints. I'm pouring out how I feel, every emotion. I'm not holding a single drop back from you. But God, it's not good enough for me to just pour it out to you. I need you to look at it. God, I need you to see it. And David asked God, just look at what I'm going through. See how I feel. See what I'm feeling inside. And maybe today, maybe that's your prayer. Maybe it's just something short and sweet and simple. Maybe just something like this. God, see me. God, I need you to see me. See what I'm going through. See how I'm feeling. God, I need you to see me. But David's pretty bold because he doesn't stop there. David takes it a step further. And he says, God, I need you to see me, but I also need you to help me. I need you to rescue me. I feel like I'm stuck in a prison and everything around me is just walls and I don't know how I could possibly get out of this on my own. I don't know how I would do this without your help. So God, I need you to see me and I need you to rescue me. God, I need you to see me. I need you to rescue me. Maybe that is your prayer today. You could just say it this way, God, see me, and God, rescue me. God, see me, and God, rescue me. Listen, our God sees you. Our God cares about you, and our God desires to help you. David, he said something a little strange, though, didn't he? Back in verse 4, as we started reading through this, He said this, he said, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Wait a second, is that true? Didn't we just read that David has like 400 people there in the cave with him? And it says he has no refuge, but I mean, he's in a cave. It's not great. It's a cold cave. It's a dark cave, right? But it's still kind of a refuge for him. He has 400 people with him, and these people, they all kind of have their own mess that they're dealing with, their own anxieties and troubles and worries, but he still has people with him, right? David here is making a choice, and this is a choice that I think you and I have to navigate as well as we move through a season of lament. And it's a choice that I think can impact us and our spiritual growth in maybe some of the most important ways of our lives. And here's the choice that David has to make. On one hand, David has this cave, this cold, dark cave. And he's got 400 people who are a mess. And over here, on the other hand, David has God. And he has to decide, am I going to find my hope? And am I going to find my help in my circumstance or my situation? Or am I going to find my hope and my help in my God? And David here, he has to make a decision. I think this is a decision when we travel through a season of lament that we have to make as well. Where will we go for help? Where will we go to find our hope again? I worked with young adults for years, and I can tell you countless stories of young adults that I worked with who were so devoted, who were so plugged in, who were sold out for Jesus, and then in a moment, something bad happened. And it was like they completely backed away from everything. No longer were they plugging into their small group. No longer were they attending a weekend service. No longer would they answer my emails or my phone calls or my texts. It was like they just completely bailed. They completely backed out of everything spiritual because something bad had happened in their lives. And I just know when we travel through a season of lament, we have to make a choice. Will we step in? Will we lean in or will we completely bail and back out? And I just believe that the most healthy thing that we can do when we travel through a season of lament is to lean in. Bring your broken, empty self to your small group because I just believe that maybe that is the exact space that God will use to fill you back up and make you whole again. Bring yourself to a weekend service, even when it feels like the last thing you want to do. Because I just believe that maybe in this space, that's the exact space that God wants to transform you as you travel through this season of lament. First thing David does is he brings his complaints to God. A second thing David does is he asks God for help. And then the last thing David does is he trusts God. David trusts God. Here's how the psalm wraps up. It says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. David starts out and he says, you are my refuge. Didn't he just say, I don't have a refuge? Like, I got nothing and I got nobody? Yeah, he did. But here is the decision that he makes. He's saying, God, I am going to choose you. You will be my refuge. You will be the place where I find my hope and I find my help. God, I am going to trust you. And then he says this thing about portion. You'll be my portion in the land of the living. David is saying, as long as this heart is still beating, as long as these lungs are still breathing, if I am in the land of the living, you, God, you are the portion that I need. I'm going to trust you for everything. Portion, it literally means to divide. And it often referenced plunder from war. So like money from war or land or food. And David is saying, I don't want my portion of any of that because all I need is you. You are exactly what I need. When it comes to money, God, you've always provided for me. God, you are my portion. When it comes to food, God, you have always filled me up. God, I want to trust you for that. When it comes to land, even in this season of lament, I have this cave around me. God, you have provided for me. You have protected me. You have watched over me. God, you are who I will seek for my portion. God, you are all that I need. You and in you, that's where I'll find my trust. And then as the psalm ends, he says, when I trust you, as I take steps of trust in who you are, other people, they're going to take notice. Other people are going to see. And I just wonder, as David is writing this psalm, if he's looking around at the 400 people who are gathered around him, and I just wonder if he's thinking, as I trust in God, and they begin to see your goodness, if maybe they'll learn to trust in you a little bit more too. And David, he writes this psalm when he's stuck in a cave. And we know the rest of David's story. We know that David exits the cave and he goes on to become the greatest king over all of Israel. But I just wonder, as you walked in this space today, if you find yourself in a cave. David had this track record, this habit of looking back. And he would look back to a moment when he was a kid and he picked up a rock and a sling and he fought a giant. And he believed that God rescued him in that moment. And so he can believe and trust that God will rescue him in this moment as well. You can look back and see when David, when he was a shepherd at his family and he would take care of the sheep. And it says stories about him fighting off lions and bears. And he says God rescued him in that moment and he can believe that God will rescue him in this moment as well. David has this track record, its habit of just looking back and believing that God rescued him before and he will rescue him again. And if you find yourself today just in a cave, and maybe the coldest, darkest cave you've ever been in, I just want to encourage you to look back. Look back at the ways that God has rescued you in the past and trust that he can rescue you now as well. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we can look back at the cross. When God himself rescued us from our sins. When he came to earth and he lived a life that we could never live. And then he died on the cross. And after he died, they pulled his body off of the cross and they sealed him inside a cold, dark cave. And 3 days later, he defeated death and he walked victoriously out of that cave. And if Jesus can defeat death and walk out of that cave, then we can certainly trust that he will meet us in the cave that we find ourselves in as well. And if you have just questions about what it would look like to put your trust in Jesus, we would love to help answer some of those questions. We would love to pray for you. In fact, we have people right up front in all of our spaces who would love to pray with you today, who would love to help answer questions about who Jesus is and what it looks like for you to take a next step closer to who he is. Don't leave this space today without having a conversation with someone up front. Well, that brings us back here to this swing set. And I'm putting together this swing set. We just realized it is going to take us 10 times longer to put this thing together. I'm looking into all of these bolts and nuts and screws and brackets, and I'm just not sure how we're going to be able to put this thing together. And you know what's going to happen? Like, I'm going to put the slide on backwards, or I'm going to put it on upside down, or we're going to get all the way to the end, and I'm going to have, like, 4 extra pieces and parts, and I'm just not going to know where they go, and I'm going to be worried that maybe I put it together wrong, and something's going to break, or somebody's going to get hurt, or it's not going to work the way it should. But you know what I had forgotten in this moment? I had forgotten that my father-in-law, He spent his entire career working as an engineer. And he worked day in and day out, putting together machinery that was far more complex than the 7 steps it would take us to build a child's swing set. You were to walk into his office, you would see patents on the wall of pieces that he invented that no one else in the world had ever thought of. He knew where every screw went. He knew where every bracket went, every bolt, every nut. He could have built that swing set blindfolded. Where I was intimidated and frustrated and confused, he was 100% confident. And when my life feels like a mess, and I'm looking at the pieces and I just don't understand where they fit, how they could possibly go together to make anything good or anything right, you know what I also forget sometimes? I forget that our God is an engineer too. And he knows exactly where every piece fits. He created us. He designed us. He is making something amazing and something good and something right and something pure and something beautiful out of all the pieces of our life, even when sometimes it just looks like a mess to us. And so as we travel through a season of lament, I just want to encourage you to bring your complaints to our God who loves us. Ask him for his help and trust that he will meet us every single time. Will you stand with me here in this space and on your campus? I'd love to pray for us as we wrap up our time together today. Let's pray together. God, I just think of those in this space and watching from our campuses or online, who are traveling through a season of lament, a season that feels cold and dark. And God, I just pray that you would meet us. I pray that you would remind us of your goodness, that you would reveal to us how the pieces and parts of our lives are coming together to create something good and right and whole and pure and beautiful. And God, I pray that we could walk forward with confidence, knowing that you are a God that we can trust. And God, give us the courage to put our trust in your hands. And God, may the world around us see your goodness as we do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. We'll catch you next week.